Brett Soderholm, our meteorologist and science specialist with CBC here in British Columbia. 3:10 on this Friday afternoon. Freighter anchorages in the Gulf Islands have long been a bone of contention. The large ships anchor for long periods of time and can be rather noisy, among other issues. Lately, communities on Vancouver Island and the Gulf Islands have been banding together to raise their concerns. And right now, Transport Canada has opened a public comment period on vessel management. For more on this, we've reached Chris Shaw. He lives on Gabriola Island and speaks for the South Coast Ship Watch Alliance. Hello, Chris.
Hello. Actually, it's Straw.
Straw, yes, right? Yes, oh, sorry about that. Yes. My, you have to warm up my vocal cords here on this Friday afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us. So people who are not familiar with this, what are freighter anchorages and why are the ships parked there?
So there are 33 sites that were designated back in the 70s. We believe they were designated actually for use for smaller ports along Vancouver Island. But they have been more recently seeing use from bulk freighters. So these are like 250 to 300 meter long cargo ships, mostly coming to the Port of Vancouver for coal and for grain shipments. And they have been increasingly allowed to anchor in these sites before going into the port. And they're sometimes coming for as much as, 30 or 40 days in advance of when they actually go into the port. And so, as you can imagine, in these small bays and waterways throughout the Southern Gulf Islands, it's very disruptive and having a lot of harmful impacts. As far as why they are there, the key thing that we would point to and are asking the government to look into is I think the question as to why are they there for so long and early. So we feel that if you look at the container side of shipping, these are the ships that bring in consumer goods that have those big rectangular, containers on board. They are in and out of the port with great efficiency. You don't see them arriving early, and we've almost never had them arrive at these anchorages. So it's a problem in the bulk cargo area, partly due to sort of dysfunction within the supply chain and bottleneck, but also simply because they're being allowed to come earlier and earlier, and they pay no fees, so there's really nothing to stop them.
And I know this is an issue that you've been looking into for a while, but now Transport Canada is accepting some public feedback on vessel management. What sort of feedback are they looking for?
So, as I understand it, this is a framework they're proposing where they'll include, local First Nations, community groups, industry stakeholders, and other people to try to create a sort of a roundtable forum for tapping into local knowledge and, discussing issues related to safety as well as the economy, which is all, I think, these are good ideas. And God knows we've been looking for consultation, and many of the Indigenous groups I've spoken to up and down the coast are very frustrated to this point with the lack of consultation. So in principle, it's a good thing. I think the big question will be, the old sort of what's on the table and what isn't. From our perspective, this activity of this level of freighter anchoring in the Southern Gulf Islands is not something to be managed in the sense that you can, somehow tweak it a little bit. We feel that it's damaging and it's unsafe and it's not appropriate. And in fact, we've been asking for studies, and what we understand is that there's been little, if any, environmental assessment of the impacts that they've already had and what, increased use would have. Everything from the chains scouring the ocean floor to the, residual amounts of pollution, invasive species, they have diesel generators that not only, they run 24/7 and not only create noise pollution, but they're also pumping emissions into the local airshed. So, a number of concerns, and we feel that, we have to be careful here to not just simply say, well, this is already an existing situation, so let's just talk about, how we manage it. I think for most of the communities that I've been engaging with and a lot of the First Nation groups, there are lots of other issues to be managed with respect to all of the other marine traffic. But to just somehow say that we're going to, put on the table something that starts with these anchorages already being allowed to continue is not something that I think people would see favorably.
Now, there is an expansion coming for the port of Nanaimo. Would that help in any way to take some of that pressure off the port over in Vancouver?
So the expansion will not, it's not, I've not seen anything that would say that they're increasing the number of anchorages there. So you're right, one of the main roles the port of Nanaimo plays in shipping for the whole West Coast is that they are one of the safe places where ships do come to anchor. And, you know, we can't really take issue with that. They're inside a port, they're federally regulated, they're all the, you know, conditions in place that they were required to pay fees. The expansion that was announced recently is more about adding to the infrastructure that might actually increase ships coming to Nanaimo to load or unload cargo. So we don't see that alleviating the anchorage problem necessarily.
Okay, and if people do have some concerns and they did want to submit comments to this public feedback process, how would they go about that?
Well, there is, I mean, that's, you know, it's Transport Canada's job to advertise that. I think, you know, if you just Google proactive vessel management, there is a website and they have a consultation phase. If people want to know more about the anchorage situation, I would encourage them to come to our site, nofreighteranchorages.ca, or to look for us on Facebook or Twitter, that's nofreighteranchorages.ca. You know, we will be engaging in this process, but our message is, for sure, there needs to be more consultation and taking advantage of local knowledge, but we're not interested in just saying somehow, you know, there can be sort of voluntary measures that try to reduce the impact of these ships. The fact that they're here and they're incoming in increasing numbers is a major problem that has to be addressed before we can sit down and sort of talk about how the rest of the shipping, marine traffic in the area gets managed.
I guess the other side of the coin on this is that, you know, the ships are important to trade and to the economy. So if they weren't anchoring in the anchorages that are provided, I guess where else would they go?
So that's a good question, and we get asked that all the time. And first of all, I will say, it's easy to say that they're important to the economy. Absolutely they are, and trade is very important to the Canadian economy. You know, many of these ships are shipping coal or grain from the Canadian prairies as well as coal. Unfortunately, some of it is also, you know, the thermal coal that the U.S. states have banned from shipping, and so it's coming up through Canada, but that's another issue. But the fact of the matter is, a ship sitting idle at anchor for 30 days isn't contributing to the Canadian economy. The same amount of coal, grain, or any of the other, you know, export goods pass through the port, whether a ship is arriving 20, 30, 40 days early or not. And what we'd like to see is much more of a management of the situation so that the shipping is much more on time and we don't have this big spillover. Again, you know, if anything, it's costing some of the shippers money for their crews and all this wait time. We do know there's a glut of ships overall in the world marketplace, and we're told that some of this is really just other, you know, foreign companies storing their ships here in advance because they have nowhere else to go, or in some cases taking advantage of, you know, sort of loose contracting practices so that they can maybe hedge their bets and wait out for a better commodity price. These aren't things that are necessarily in Canada's interest, and they're certainly not in the interest of the residents of the Southern Gulf Islands.
Chris, it's good to hear from you this afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Megan.
That is Chris Straw, lives on Gabriel Island. He also speaks for the South Coast Ship Watch Alliance. 19... 19-